Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Romans 12, verse 11 says, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Okay? How to not backslide, or how to backslide. Amen. Now, we said that Christianity is a faith of faithfulness. That means that we're expected to remain steadfast and committed every day of our Christian walk. The normal Christian life is to be characterized by consistency and faithfulness. Okay, but this is not always the case for most believers. We said that a believer can backslide. Okay, we said there are two schools of thoughts or theological opinions on backsliding. Now, the first says that a believer can never truly backslide, otherwise he was never truly saved. The second school of thought says a believer can backslide, and when this happens, he loses his salvation. So we said this creates kind of a dilemma. Both views see backsliding as a loss of salvation, so that's the issue with them. But as we saw from the scriptures, the Christian can in fact backslide, is warned over and over again to persevere. Paul tells the Corinthians to examine themselves lest they fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. A believer in Christ can be disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9:26-27. Therefore I run, toss not with uncertainty, toss I run not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, disqualified from rewards, Christians can depart from sound doctrine and begin to believe heresies. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their heads away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So this shoots score one on the heart. Also, we saw that a believer can never truly lose his salvation. This is very clear throughout the scriptures. The one who believes in Christ will not perish. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus will lose none who come to him. John 6:39, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Jesus himself is responsible for the Christian. He will keep him safe till the very end. In John chapter 17, Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, prayed that believers would always be where he is. Verse 24 of chapter 17, John, it says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be where I am, okay? That they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me from before the foundation of the world. Now, when God answered that prayer, in salvation we are joined with Christ. We are where he is. 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen. And nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Romans 8 says, so the Christian who is saved once remains so forever. The writer of Hebrews says it this way, Hebrews 7:25, therefore is able to save to the uttermost or forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So school 2 is also out. Amen. Backsliding cannot be a loss of salvation. So what then is backsliding? We created a thought school. We said that it is possible for a believer to backslide, but this doesn't mean a loss of salvation. And we've been expounding on this view throughout this teaching. In the last service, we saw the various Greek and Hebrew words used to describe backsliding, and we concluded that backsliding could never be a loss of salvation. Old Testament Israel was called backsliding, yet they were not saved. Therefore, backsliding never meant a loss of salvation, even in the Old Testament. Instead, it meant for someone to go back on his commitment to the Lord. Okay, so you find someone who was once fervent, once faithful to the Lord, abandoning him for other things. Now, in Israel's case, for idols. Okay, so that's a brief recap of all that we've seen so far. So pick up from there today. Now, to backslide, we've said, is to turn away from God. It is to turn our backs on our commitment to Him. It is to lose our past zeal, passion, and fervency in serving Him. Now, for the Jewish people in the Old Testament, backsliding was oftentimes characterized by idolatry, whereby they left Yahweh for foreign gods. Now, let's run through that quickly. Hosea 4, verse 17. It says, Ephraim, now that will be a synecdoche, that is all Israel, is joined to idols, let him alone. Moses had warned the children of Israel against this. Exodus chapter 20, 3 to 4. Exodus 23-4, it says, You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 23 of that same chapter, You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver, or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. Deuteronomy 6, verse 14, it says, You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. Deuteronomy 11 verse 16. It says, Take you to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Idolatry was the greatest form of unfaithfulness Israel could commit. Now, Israel originally worshipped idols in Egypt. Now, many people don't know this. Joshua 24 verse 14. Okay? Joshua 24 verse 14. It says, Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Underline that, in Egypt, serve the Lord. So the Jews were also serving the gods of Egypt while in captivity there. Okay, but Moses came to deliver them and restore the worship of the true God, the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Exodus 8 verse 1. Exodus 8:1, And the Lord spoke to Moses, Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Underline that. That they may serve me. Exodus 9:1, Then the Lord said to Moses, Go into Pharaoh and say, Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Underline that. That they may serve me. The word serve translates the Hebrew abad, A-B-A-D, which has to do with worship. So God's plan was for Israel to worship Him, not idols of Egypt. Okay, now this plan is realized as the Jews leave Egypt for the promised land. Okay, so the Jews then come into relationship with Yahweh, abandoning the idols of Egypt. In the Old Testament, Israel's relationship with Yahweh is likened to that of husband and wife. So Yahweh is husband, Israel is wife. Isaiah 54 verse 5. Isaiah 54:5. For your maker is your husband. Underline that, your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He's called the God of the whole earth. Jeremiah 2:2. Jeremiah 2:2. Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal. Underline betrothal or engagement. When you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Now, Yahweh was always faithful to his wife, Israel. Okay, wife in quotation marks. Okay, and she was also meant to be faithful to him. But this wasn't always the case. Israel many times abandoned her husband, Yahweh, for other gods and other nations. Now, this is oftentimes described as idolatry. Okay, adultery, fornication, allotry, or treachery. Okay, Jeremiah 3 verse 20. Let's run through that quickly. Jeremiah 3:20. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, or life from house to husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. Ezekiel 16:31-34. You erected your shrine at the head of every road, and built your high place in every street. Yet you were not like a harlot because you scorn payment. You are an adulterous wife. Underline that. You are an adulterous wife. That is Israel, who takes strangers instead of a husband. Men make payment to all harlots, but you made your payments to all your lovers and hired them to come to you from all around for your harlotry. You are the opposite of other women in your harlotry because no one solicited you to be a harlot in that you gave payment, but no payment was given you. Therefore, you are the opposite. Serious stuff. Hosea 1:2. Hosea 1:2. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, Go take yourself, O wife of idolatry and children of idolatry, for the land has committed great idolatry. Underline that, from there to idolatry. Now how? By departing from the Lord. Underline departing. Hosea 9:1. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other peoples, for you have played the harlot against your God. Underline that, from you to God, you have made love for ire on every threshing floor. So, since Israel is Yahweh's wife in the Old Testament, abandoning him for others was like cheating in a marriage. Hence these descriptions, adultery, fornication, or idolatry. Now, God is called jealous in the Old Testament scriptures. Okay? Now, usually in the context of idolatry, Exodus 20:5. You shall not bow down to them that is idols, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Underline that, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Exodus 34:14. Similarly there. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous, he is a jealous God. On the line from jealous to God, okay? He's called jealous. That means he's intolerant of unfaithfulness. Now, he has the right to expect our own divided worship. He created us. Okay? So, he doesn't want his people cheating on him with false gods. Worshipping false gods on us eventually. Now, I'll give you references for that. 1 Kings 18:28. 2 Kings 17:7-17. 2 Kings 21:1-9, Jeremiah 32:35. And you'll find in those texts how Israel passed their children through the fire in idolatry. So Israel would backslide by going back to how she was before she met the God of Moses. Okay? Now the people of Israel were idol worshippers before Moses came. So backsliding would mean going back to idolatry. Do you follow that? Okay, so that's what backsliding means generally, to abandon one's past commitment to God and to start living as one did before ever encountering Him. Now, we have several cases of persons in the Old Testament who also backslid. Okay, now usually they were kings of Israel and Judah, and their backsliding rubbed off on the people. So let's see now Old Testament examples of backsliding. Subheading for you. Old Testament examples of backsliding. Now, number one here, King Saul. Now, he was the first king of Israel and ruled from 1037 to 1010 BC. Now, Saul has started out on the right path. He was humble at his beginnings. In fact, he didn't want to be king initially. 1 Samuel 10:21. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Machir was chosen, and Saul the son of Kish was chosen, but when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord for them, as men come here yet? And the Lord answered, there is Eden among the equipment. So they ran and brought him from there, and when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? That there is no one like him among all the people. So all the people shouted and said, long live the king. So he didn't want to be king, right? But Saul's character degraded over time. He became full of pride and hubris. You may see 1 Samuel 13:8-14 and 1 Samuel 15 for that. And this led to his downfall, his pride and hubris. Okay, 1 Samuel 15:10-11. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul as king, for he has turned back. Underline that. He has turned back or backslidden. You see that? From following me, and has not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So Saul backslid. He abandoned his past commitment to the Lord. Now number two here, Rehoboam. Rehoboam. Now he was the son of Solomon and ruled over Judah from 931 to 913 BCE. Now he forsook the Lord. 2 Chronicles 12:1 tells us that. 2 Chronicles 12:1. It says, now it came to pass when Rehoboam had established a kingdom and had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of the Lord. Underline that, from he the Lord and all Israel along with him. Underline that, from all to him. 1 Kings 14 provides more information on this. 1 Kings 14:21-24. It says, and Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He ruled 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Nama, an Ammonitess. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed, more than all their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. So idolatry. Okay, and there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So Rehoboam forsook the Lord and caused the whole land to do same. Number 3, Jeroboam. Jeroboam. Now he was the first king of northern Israel. He reigned around 931 to 910 BC. Now he made idols and shrines for the people to worship. 1 Kings 12 verse 28. 1 Kings 12 verse 28. Therefore the king asked advice, made a cause of God, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places, and made priests for every class of people who were not from the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the cows that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priest of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, and the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel, and offered sacrifices on the altar, and burned incense. And number 4 here, Ahab. Ahab, King Ahab. Now he was the son of Omri, O-M-R-Y, and the seventh king of Israel. He reigned around 871 to 852 BC. Now he is described as being worse than any king before him. 1 Kings 16 verse 30. 1 Kings 16 verse 30. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil on the side of the Lord more than all who were before him. Underline that. From more to him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as a wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonites, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. See that? Number 5, Ahaziah. A-H-A-Z-I-A-H. He reigned over Israel from around 852 to 849 BC. Now he also followed in the footsteps of idolatry of his predecessors. 1 Kings 22 verse 51. 1 Kings 22 verse 51. Ahaziah the son of Ahab became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. For he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, according to all that his father had done. Number 6, Amaziah. A-M-A-Z-I-A-H. A-M-A-Z-I-A-H. Now he was the ninth king of Judah, and the son of Joash, J-O-A-S-H. Now he reigned from 796 to 767 BC. Now he started out rightly and followed the Lord. 2 Kings 14:1-3. 2 Kings 14:1-3. In the second year of Joash, the son of Jehoash, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadad of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like his father David. He did everything as his father Joash had done. Now it is said of him that he later turned away from following the Lord. 2 Chronicles 25 verse 27. After the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Now this man, being kings, influenced the people badly during their reign. You know, the king has the greatest influence in the land, okay? Now we also have New Testament examples of people who backslid, okay? So this could be a new subheading for you. Number one here, the disciples of Jesus. Now the word disciple simply refers to a student or follower of another. Now Jesus the Christ had 12 major disciples, then other disciples, other followers, okay, other students who followed him and learned from him. Now these others abandoned him at some point. Okay, John 6 records this, John chapter 6, 60 to 66, as we close. John 6, 60 to 66. It says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Well then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to your spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, now look at this, many of his disciples went back, underline that, went back and walked with him no more, underline that, walked with him no more. So they abandoned him. See that? Now, number two here, Hymenaeus and Alexander. Hymenaeus and Alexander, Hymenaeus, okay, and Alexander, Alexander. Now, these were Christians who fell into the trap of heresy. 1 Timothy 1:19-20, as we close, 1 Timothy 1:19-20. It says, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Underline that. Concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, the faith here refers to sound doctrine. That is the faith. So, this man had rejected the faith and were blaspheming. That is speaking things contrary to sound doctrine. So, they backslid. Okay. Now, number three, a very popular one, Demas. You've heard him before, right? Demas, D-E-M-A-S. Now, Paul makes reference to him, 2 Timothy 4:10. 2 Timothy 4:10. It says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Underline that. Having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Christians for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Demas is an example of a Christian who abandons the service of God for the pleasures of this world. That is Demas. Okay, so you see that even Christians can backslide. Do you see that? Okay, so backsliding is not a concept that applies to the Old Testament alone. And that is why we started how we started, to show you that a Christian can fall into sin. A Christian can lose his commitment and fervency for the things of God. Okay, so backsliding happens when God's people stop being fervent for him. Do you see that? When they become lazy in their service to God. Now, sometimes it can refer to someone leaving God altogether. Okay, not someone who is just lazy. You find someone who leaves God altogether, turning his back completely on the things of God, forsaking God for other things. And Christians are warned against this. 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now the question is, if we are eternally saved, right? Why do the epistles warn us against backsliding? Is that a good question? Okay. Why are we instructed not to fall and not to draw back in our commitment to God if we are already saved? Now the reason is simple. So you won't be useless. Do you follow that? The warnings not to draw back are not to prevent a loss of salvation. They are to prevent uselessness in the things of God. Okay, so you are not told not to backslide because you can lose your salvation. You are told not to backslide so that you won't be useless in the kingdom of God. Okay, a backsliding Christian is not one who has lost his salvation, but one who has lost his passion for God. Okay, one who has stopped being fervent in the things of God. Such a one cannot be useful in the kingdom of God. Do you follow that? Now, he's still saved, right? Just useless in the things of God. Now, God doesn't want any Christian that way. Hence the instructions. Do you follow that now? Don't backslide. Keep on moving. Persevere. Okay, do not draw back so that you are not useless in the kingdom of God. Okay, God wants the Christian fervent and on fire at all times. Romans 12, verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Did you learn? It is given praise. Thank you. My people from here.